Page 81.
Chapter 14. How Balin met with that knight named Garlon at a feast, and there he slew him to have his blood to heal therewith the son of his host. Then they rode 3 or 4 days, and never met with adventure, and by hap they were lodged with a gentleman that was a rich man, and well at ease. And as they sat at their supper, Balin heard one, complain grievously by him in a chair. "What is this noise?" said Balin. "Forsooth," said his host, "I will tell you. I was but late at a jousting, and there I jousted with a knight that is brother unto King Pellam, and twice smote I him down. And then he promised to quit me on my best friend, and so he wounded my son, that cannot be whole till I have of that knight's blood, and he rideth away invisible, but I know not his name." "Ah," said Balin, "I know that knight, his name is Garlon. He has slain 2 knights of mine in the same manner, therefore I have lever meet with that knight than all the gold in this realm, for the despite he hath done me." "Well," said his host, "I shall tell you, King Pellam of Listinoise hath made do cry in all this country a great feast that shall be within these 20 days, and no knight may come there but if he bring his wife with him or his paramour. And that knight, your enemy and mine, ye shall see that day." "Then I behote asterisk you," said Balin, "part of his blood to heal your son withal." "Behote, promise," returned a text. "We will be forward to morn," said the host. So on the morn they rode all 3 toward Pelham, and they had 15 days' journey, or they came thither, and that same day began the great feast. And so they alit and stabled their horses and went into the castle, but Balin's host might not be let in because he had no lady. Page 82. Then Balin was well received, and brought unto a chamber, and unarmed him, and there were brought him robes to his pleasure, and would have had Balin leave his sword behind him. "Nay," said Balin, "that do I not, for it is the custom of my country, a knight always to keep his weapon with him, and that custom will I keep, or else I will depart as I came." Then they gave him leave to wear his sword, and so he went unto the castle, and was set among knights of worship, and his lady afore him. Soon Balin asked a knight, "Is there not a knight in this court whose name is Garlon?" "Yonder he goeth," said the knight, "he with the black face. He is the marvellous knight that is now living, for he destroyeth many good knights, for he goeth invisible." "Ah, well," said Balin, "is that he?" Then Balin advised him asterisk long, "If I slay him here, I shall not scape, and if I leave him now, peradventure, I shall never meet with him again at such a Stephen asterisk, and much harm he will do, and he live." Advised him, considered to himself, and Stephen, occasion, returned a text. Therewith this Garlon espied that this Balin beheld him, and then he came and smote Balin on the face with the back of his hand, and said, "Knight, why beholdest thou me so? For shame, therefore, eat thy meat, and do that thou came for." "Thou sayest sooth," said Balin, "this is not the first despite that thou hast done me, and therefore I will do that I came for," and rose up fiercely and clave his head to the shoulders. "Give me the truncheon," said Balin to his lady, "wherewith he slew your knight." Anon she gave it him, for always she bare the truncheon with her. And therewith Balin smote him through the body, and said openly, "With that truncheon thou hast slain a good knight, and now it sticketh in thy body." And then Balin called unto him his host, saying, "Now may ye fetch blood enough to heal your son withal." Page 83. Chapter 15. How Balin fought with King Pellam, and how his sword brake, and how he gat a spear wherewith he smote the dolorous stroke. Anon all the knights arose from the table for to set on Balin, and King Pellam himself arose up fiercely and said, "Knight, hast thou slain my brother? Thou shalt die therefore, or thou depart." "Well," said Balin, "do it yourself." "Yes," said King Pellam, "there shall no man have ado with thee but myself, for the love of my brother." Then King Pellam caught in his hand a grim weapon and smote eagerly at Balin. But Balin put his sword betwixt his head and the stroke, and therewith his sword brast in sunder. Note 1. And when Balin was weaponless, he ran into a chamber for to seek some weapon, and so from chamber to chamber, and no weapon he could find, and always King Pellam after him. And at the last he entered into a chamber that was marvelously well light, asterisk, and richly, and a bed arrayed with cloth of gold, the richest that might be thought, and one lying therein, and thereby stood a table of clean gold, with four pillars of silver that bare up the table, and upon the table stood a marvelous spear, strangely wrought. Dight, arranged. Return to text. And when Balin saw that spear, he gat it in his hand, and turned him to King Pellam, and smote him passingly sore with that spear. And King Pellam fell down in a swoon, and therewith the castle roof and walls brake, and fell to the earth, and Balin fell down so that he might not stir foot nor hand. And so the most part of the castle that was fall down through that dolorous stroke lay upon Pellam and Balin 3 days. Note 2. Page 84. Chapter 16. How Balin was delivered by Merlin and saved a knight that would have slain himself for love. Then Merlin came thither and took up Balin and gat him a good horse, for his was dead, and bade him ride out of that country. I would have my damosel, said Balin. Lo, said Merlin, where she lieth dead. Note 1. And King Pellam lay so, many years sore wounded, and might never be whole, till Galahad, the haut prince, healed him in the quest for the sand grail, for in that place was part of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Joseph of Arimathea brought into this land, and there himself lay in that rich bed. And that was the same spear that Longius smote our Lord to the heart. And King Pellam was nigh of Joseph's kin, and that was the most worshipful man that lived in those days, and great pity it was of his hurt, for through that stroke turned to great dole, Trey and Tenny. Asterisk. Trey, sorrow, Tenny, grief. Return to text. Then departed Balin from Merlin and said, In this world we meet never no more. So he rode forth through the fair countries and cities and found the people dead, slain on every side. And all that were alive cried, O Balin, thou hast caused great damage in these countries, for the dolorous stroke thou gavest unto King Pellam. 3 countries are destroyed, and doubt not, but the vengeance will fall on thee at last. When Balin was past those countries, he was passing fain. Asterisk, fain, glad. Return to text. So he rode 8 days, or he met with adventure, and at the last he came into a fair forest in a valley, and was ware of a tower. And there beside he saw a great horse of war, tied to a tree, and there beside sat a fair knight on the ground, and made great mourning, and he was a likely man, and a well made. Balin said, God save you, why be ye so heavy? Tell me, and I will amend it, and I may to my power. Sir knight, said he again, thou doest me great grief, for I was in merry thoughts, and now thou puttest me to more pain. Page 85. Balin went a little from him and looked on his horse, then heard Balin him say this, Ah, fair lady, why have you broken my promise? For thou promisest me to meet me here by noon, and I may curse thee that ever ye gave me this sword, for with this sword I slay myself, and pulled it out. And therewith Balin start unto him and took him by the hand. Let go my hand, said the knight, or else I shall slay thee. That shall not need, said Balin, for I shall promise you my help to get you your lady, and ye will tell me where she is. What is your name, said the knight? My name is Balin le Savage. Ah, sir, I know you well enough. Ye are the knight with the 2 swords, and the man of most prowess of your hands living. What is your name, said Balin? My name is Garnish of the Mount, a poor man's son, but by my prowess and hardiness a duke hath made me knight, and gave me lands. His name is Duke Hermel, and his daughter is she that I love, and she me, as I deemed. How far is she hence? Said Balin. But 6 miles, said the knight. Now ride we hence, said these 2 knights. So they rode more than a pace, till they came to a fair castle well walled and ditched. "I will into the castle," said Balin, "and look if she be there." So he went in and searched from chamber to chamber, and found her bed, but she was not there. Then Balin looked into a fair little garden, and under a laurel tree he saw her lie upon a quilt of green samite, and a knight in her arms, fast halsing, either other, and under their heads grass and herbs, halsing, embracing. Return to text. When Balin saw her lie so with the foulest knight that ever he saw, and she a fair lady, then Balin went through all the chambers again, and told the knight how he found her as she had slept fast, and so brought him to the place where she lay fast sleeping. Page 86. Chapter 17. How that knight slew his love, and a knight lying by her, and after how he slew himself with his own sword, and how Balin rode toward a castle where he lost his life. And when Garnish beheld her so lying, for pure sorrow his mouth and nose brassed out on bleeding, and with his sword he smote off both their heads, and then he made sorrow out of measure, and said, "O Balin, much sorrow hast thou brought unto me, for hadst thou not showed me that sight, I should have passed my sorrow." "Forsooth," said Balin, "I did it to this intent, that it should better thy courage, and that ye might see and know her falsehood, and to cause you to leave love of such a lady. God knoweth I did none other but as I would ye did to me." "Alas," said Garnish, "now is my sorrow double, that I may not endure. Now have I slain that I most loved in all my life." And therewith suddenly he rove himself on his own sword unto the hilts. When Balin saw that, he dressed him thenceward, lest folk would say he had slain them. And so he rode forth, and within 3 days he came by a cross, and thereon were letters of gold written that said, "It is not for no knight alone to ride toward this castle." Then saw he an old hoar gentleman coming toward him, that said, "Balin le Savage, thou passeth thy bounds to come this way, therefore turn again, and it will avail thee." And he vanished away anon, and so he heard an horn blow, as it had been the death of a beast. "That blast," said Balin, "is blown for me, for I am the prize, and yet am I not dead." Anon withal he saw 100 ladies and many knights that welcomed him with fair semblant, and made him passing good cheer unto his sight, and led him into the castle, and there was dancing and minstrelsy, and all manner of joy. Page 87. Then the chief lady of the castle said, "Knight with the two swords, ye must have ado and joust with a knight hereby that keepeth an island, for there may no man pass this way, but he must joust as he pass." "That is an unhappy custom," said Balin, "that a knight may not pass this way but if he joust." "Ye shall not have ado with one knight," said the lady. "Well," said Balin, "since I shall, thereto I am ready. But travelling men are oft weary, and their horses too. But though my horse is weary, and my heart is not weary, I would be fain there my death should be." "Sir," said a knight to Balin, "methinketh your shield is not good. I will lend you a bigger, thereof I pray you." And so he took the shield that was unknown, and left his own, and so rode unto the island, and put him and his horse in a great boat. And when he came on the other side, he met with a damosel, and she said, "O knight Balin, why have ye left your own shield? Alas, ye have put yourself in great danger, for by your shield ye should have been known. It is great pity of you as ever was of knight, for of thy prowess and hardiness thou hast no fellow living." "Me repenteth," said Balin, "that ever I came within this country, for I may not turn now again for shame. And what adventure shall fall to me, be it life or death, I will take the adventure that shall come to me." And then he looked on his armor, and understood he was well armed, and therewith blessed him, and mounted upon his horse. Blessed him, crossed himself. Return to text. Page 88. Chapter 18. How Balin met with his brother Balan, and how each of them slew other unknown, till they were wounded to death. Then afore him he saw come riding out of a castle a knight, and his horse trapped all red, and himself in the same color. When this knight